to Live from Mount Sinai. Today is July 17th, 2005. And now, introducing the star of Live from Mount Sinai and cult hero of the ignorant masses, the master of slander, the Gentile that's not Gentile, Sean, my mama ain't Yoko and my daddy ain't Vladimir, woman!
Thank you, Moshe. Thank you. And thank you for joining us at Live from Mount Sinai, a weekly program. You can see our website at talkwarrior.com. Hey, how you doing, man? How you doing?
I'm okay. I tell you, I don't know what I would do if I wasn't, like, subservient to you in my capacity as a co-host.
You've always been the excellent sidekick.
Hey, what could I say? did you see Land of the Dead, by the way?
No, not yet.
Oh, you got to see it.
Have you seen Shaun of the Dead?
Yeah, I saw Shaun of the Dead. That was good.
That was good.
But see Land of the Dead, because that's like, it's really Iraq. You have to see it, though.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, they're in Iraq.
Is it a Netflix thing?
Won't be out for a while.
I'll look for it.
Yeah.
I'll look for it.
Yeah.
Do you get email, man? Do you get, like, some of that spam email or, like, newsletters and stuff?
From whom?
Like Air America.
No, I don't.
I mean, when they first started up, you know, I was like hopeful and that thought they would be like really cool. And,
yeah.
You know, I gave them a chance. I listened to it for like probably maybe 3 weeks.
I didn't listen to it very much. What happened to it?
It just felt like my head was going to explode. It didn't really do anything. It was just as bad as like Rush Limbaugh, just, you know, from the other political angle.
But when you're sick, when I do this show alone, you know, when we're sick,
yeah,
I'm like Rush Limbaugh. I'm like a left-wing Rush Limbaugh that isn't fat.
No, I think you're a little different. You don't go with like the party line. You know, you're not always, you know, Democrat, you know.
Right.
There's no dividing line there, and it seems like Air America, that's what they do. And what got me is I never get...
So you're saying they back the... They're like, you know, they're like Republicans, and they always back number one, you know.
Labor of the day, and they miss the good stuff. You know, like, you know, what got me is, you know, I'm not, you know, too crazy about Randy Rhoads. I get some emails from her, but this is an email that, like, called me that was, like, a call to action.
Yeah.
From Air America.
Call to action, yeah. I've seen those before, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. It says, you know, and it says, traitor in the White House, you know. And it's like, this is right after about 2 weeks of Downing Street memo.
Right.
You know, this is like we're looking at this, and this is like high treason for the, you know, President of the United States. You know, we're only getting a big buzz on that on the indie circuit. You know, but, you know, so I looked at this email, and I'm, you know, thinking, yeah, well, finally they're getting around to the whole Downing Street memo, and there it is, Karl Rove. You know,
mm-hmm.
Talking about him and the CIA. They don't talk about that those documents were forged and those documents, they knew those documents were wrong and that the president went up there and talked about it. You know, they didn't talk anything about that. They talked about that son of a bitch. You know?
So you're saying they ignored the Downing Street memo.
Pretty much, they just kind of glazed it over.
Right.
To pick on, you know, the lesser of, you know, the pecking order, in my opinion.
Right.
You know, it drives me nuts about that. You know, it's like, you know, I've noticed that when I listen to, you know, all that terrestrial radio, it's all watered down. That's why I love, you know, when I'm, you know, having my vacation down in the Bahamas or the Caymans, you know, basically, you know, working my taco stand.
You have a taco stand down there?
Yeah, you didn't know that. That's why.
No, I don't know that.
Well, you know, that's why I put you in charge. You know, you do your thing. You know, and when you do the show, you know, and I tune in on the internet, you know, I'm just like thrilled. You know, so I'm thinking of just giving it to you.
No, you know what? I really like being the number two man. I like being submissive. You know, I feel like I've never been gay before, but I feel like I'm taking up the ass. And you know what? It feels good.
Oh, my friend, my dear friend.
I like this. So I want you to continue being the star live from Mount Sinai, you know? I think we need a Gentile doing the show. We can't have a Jew doing it. It would just be too Jewish.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, you know.
No, we need to mix it up.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't want to rain on your parade, but I just want to say that some people were upset last week about the things I said about Gentiles.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, and I just want to say, you know, that's not my problem. I don't give a shit if you're offended. I don't take back anything I said. You know, I grew up with people calling me Jesus killer and hating me because I'm Jewish, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe all these Gentiles that were offended by what I said about my disdain of Gentiles, well, that's maybe get a taste of how it feels to be hated for something that's totally stupid, you know, for, like, what you were born with. Yeah, and it's like black people have it, like, 1,000 times worse. You know, so maybe you have a taste of what it feels like. So I don't take it back, you know. If I offend anyone, then fuck them. But, you know, I'm sorry to rain on your parade.
No. I'm going to have to concur with that because basically people got to get over with it. You know, there are people that disagree with their lifestyles, you know, and sometimes they have to look at themselves rather than externalizing everything, you know, blaming this, blaming that, and saying it's this, and now he's having to have some kind of inferior life form, you know, or inferior culture, inferior religion, inferior whatever. You know, don't, you know, subscribe to that kind of thinking, and, you know, you imagine, you know, you'll see things in a clearer light, and everyone's pretty much on a fair playing field. You know, but, you know, that's an ego thing, and that's, you know, a personal thing, and that's, in a lot of ways, a religious thing. Some people got to let go with it, you know. You know,
they got to let it go.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Just let it go, man.
Yeah. Tell me more about your taco stand.
Oh, you know, I just, you know, get, you know, 2 for $1, you know, it's just cheap rolled tacos.
You're kidding me.
Carne
asada. I didn't know you were a capitalist pig.
Well, you know, in a modest sense, you know, it's like, well, it depends where I am, where I'm located. Usually if it's, you know, south of the border, it's a taco stand. If I'm a little northern California, it's usually a little
Jesus.
Sandwich stand, and you know, when I'm East Coast, then you know it's.
You know what? We can't be respectable socialists and own taco stands. I'm sorry.
Who says I'm a socialist?
Well, I guess we're capitalists. Yeah.
You know,
fuck the little man. Fuck him. Do you get like. Like in America, do you get like minimum wage help? And in south of the border, do you get like substandard? You know, it's like I don't know what they have down there. They have like starvation wage.
That's my policy. You know, I just, you know, all I do is enough to sustain myself.
Do you keep your working nice and hungry?
You just, you know, I feed people. That's the thing. You know, I just, you know,
feed your workers.
Have my sandwich stand. There's nothing wrong with being a sandwich maker. I love being the.
Do you hire people?
No.
Okay, so you don't exploit the worker.
No, I don't exploit the worker. I just do my job. I add to the collection.
You're like an entrepreneur.
I try, you know, that's why, you know, I just got to make enough to afford the radio station and keep that going and make enough so I can pay my bills and keep that going, and, you know, and just be able to survive. Just enough, not too much.
What, you learn a new thing every day.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to help it. You got to, you know, can't, you know, just freak out and sit around. You got to do something. I got to get out of the house. I go crazy when I'm not working.
All right, look, give me a meet. What's on the agenda?
Okay.
I know we got an exciting show for you, folks.
I wanted to talk about the Unocal with the bid, $18.5 billion bid to buy Unocal from the Chinese National Offshore Oil Company. There's also been a deal in Oman.
The ignorant masses know nothing about this.
Well, yeah, okay.
Enlighten the ignorant masses.
Let's break it down. Unocal is probably one
of
the...
I don't know anything about this.
Oh, okay. Unocal... You don't know that Unocal is being looked at by the Chinese...
I've never even heard of Unocal.
Unocal is an oil company. Unocal is like... I don't know what you got there in the West Coast, but here it's like...
I'm on the East Coast.
You got 76 stations there?
We got what?
76 stations?
I think we used to. I don't see them anymore.
Yeah, well, that's Unocal. It might have been bought up by Chevron or something like
that. Yeah.
But anyway, they're a large chunk of America's oil conglomerate, basically.
Yeah.
And they're looking at selling it to the Chinese.
Right.
For $18.5 billion.
You're saying that they... the refiner.
Yeah, basically. They're also a supply, you know, they have pipelines and, you know, the whole shebang. It's more natural gas
Exxon.
For the Chinese, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so what are you saying, that they're selling shares to the Chinese?
No, the Chinese are going to buy the company.
Oh, they're going to buy the company.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. Now, what's wrong with this?
Well, you know, it's kind of ironic. The thing that we're fighting over right now is oil in the Middle East, and you know, the basic, you know, the basic idea of it is right now people are just trying to gouge the system, make as much money as they can, and get out, and you know, just kind of like the last gasp for petroleum products, and that's kind of the perception. You know, and now you look at it, and if they can make a quick buck by selling, selling basically America's oil supply to China, what does that make us? You know.
Well, we're capitalists. Makes us capitalists.
That's extreme.
But that's what we always were.
Well, I would say we're more of imperialists, but you know,
capitalism can coexist with imperialism. It always has. Look at Germany.
Yeah, absolutely.
But go on.
But basically, that's the American people have no say in this, and it's going to be one of those things that they're going to have to pay for in the long run anyway.
Well, hold on. American company could buy a Chinese company, correct?
Yeah.
So why should the Americans have say in this?
Well, basically...
This is what I'm trying to get at.
Pipeline. This is...
Why are you bashing the Chinese?
I'm not bashing the Chinese. I just find it kind of suspect that they're kind of making a chess move right now.
Right. Well...
And I look at, you know, what happened in the past with, say, the, you know, basically us being at war.
Right.
Basically being... So we're trying to extract it. We're not even metering it. You know, from, you know, another country, and there's resistance there. I mean, where is this all going? You know, they're trying to open up oil in the Arctic, and still now they're selling off some of their companies, you know, to China.
And I don't think the refinery in the Arctic that they want to make, I don't think that oil will ever be exported to the mainland. I think that oil is meant for Japan.
It's meant for China.
Oh, China?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They're basically just kind of, to me, you know, it just seems like absolute madness. I mean, I'm not an economist or anything like that, but, you know, just looking at the bulk of it, you know, the way it's such a commodity right now, and, you know, to be honest with you, I look at China and I don't see them being completely, you know, dependent on petroleum product fuel as America, you know, and I don't think they ever will be. You know, I think they probably did a brilliant thing by damming up the Yangtze, because that's going to supply like 3/4 of their country with electricity, free electricity, clean electricity, without the petroleum powers.
Right.
You know, and their manufacturing is basically, you know, American products to begin with, you know, so someone's paying that, and it's basically all us, especially when it comes to money.
What do you mean it's all us?
Yeah.
What are we paying for?
Everything.
Why? How is that?
Because we're the main consumer.
Oh, I see. Well, right.
And everyone else has to suffer for it. Because we're the main polluter, we're the main, you know, we're the main...
So what do you recommend? What do we do?
Oh, what do I do?
How do we get out of this?
I just try and be modest. I just try and, you know, not overdo it as much as I can. You know, I try to be less of a problem than I, you know, than more of a problem.
Well, look, what should we do in terms of national policy?
National policy?
Yes.
That's a good question. That's a really good question. I think, you know, nationalize our fuel, nationalize our resources.
What do you mean by national? You mean socialize?
Well, there you go. See, there's a fine line right there. You know, when it comes...
I think that's a great idea, but I don't think it's going to fly too well with all companies.
It doesn't... Oh, of course it's not. You know? But it doesn't mean we can't act that way on at least a smaller scale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, personally, between one person and another person, they can barter.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to charge interest or get into like a contractual agreement, and you know they can just be people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say, you know, pay me for the hot dog tomorrow, no problem.
Right. You know? I can just go to your taco stand and say, give me a taco.
Sure. If you're hungry, I'm not going to let you.
I'll pay you tomorrow.
Sure. And I'll probably let it go for a while, you know, until some point I might ask you for a favor.
All right. But what other exciting topics do you have today?
Oh, hey, I want to talk to you about podcasting, dude.
Hit me?
Well...
No, I'll do it. You know what, who's that conservative, really ugly, oh, Buckley? This is what he does. He goes, shoot. Can I ask you a question, Mr. Buckley? Shoot. And he's doing that sneaky little accent. Shoot. He's got this, like, weird language of his own. He's like,
Dude, you're going to hate it. I've been airing Gore Vidal again on Upstart.
Gore Vidal, my favorite blabbermouth.
You know, he's talking about the number. It actually was recorded on November 6, 2004.
Right.
And I've been airing it, you know, every once in a while. And I think I'm going to probably make a mix out of it. But,
you know, for those of us that don't know, Gore Vidal is not really a historian. Although he pretends he is.
Well, whatever he is, I appreciate his perspective, you know, and it's good to hear, you know, like at least, you know.
You should read one of his plays.
One of his what?
Plays.
Oh, I don't even want to go there.
Oh, man. He writes like 900-page novels. I've never even... it terrifies me to even think of reading one of them. But anyways, okay, let's go. Podcasting. What do you got?
I've been messing around for a while with like this webj.org thing.
What is it?
Webj.org.
Never heard of it.
In and out. That's the first one I got into. Now I'm like looking at like Gigadial. I'm looking at the iPod.org or something like that. I had all these websites here just a while ago. And I didn't even figure out how to work it. I go to Gigadial and I log in and I can't upload a show. Where is it supposed to bounce off of? My server?
Is this a podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, you'll need a podcast reader thingamajigger.
Podcast reader thingamajigger.
Yeah.
I found the lemon.
What?
Because I got the lemon.
The lemon does, yeah. That's,
The lemon, dude.
That's iPod or something like that?
I got it. The lemon. Yeah, right here.
Yeah. That'll do it. Yep.
I can, how does it get my,
Well, you give it a URL, and you know, I haven't used that for a while, and you press, like, a retrieve button or something, and that will automatically download the files. You have to give it the URL of the podcast, and the podcast is like an XML. It's described by an XML file.
Right.
But.
So I just link it to, like, say I upload it to radioforall.net, and I use that URL to read it, or do I just...
Okay, but do you want to have the podcast on your website?
I want probably a button or something.
You want a what?
A button or something to get it going.
Okay. Just so people could listen to it from your website, which is, by the way, What is it again?
It's upstartradio.com.
Okay.
It's internet radio station. Click on live.
Okay, so you want people to listen to podcasts on upstartradio.com.
Well, I want to have a place to post it. I'm still trying to launch this thing. I still don't get the concept. I tried webj.org.
I'll help you later.
And the stuff.
I'll fix you up.
All right.
I'll fix you up after.
How about, you know, for people, I mean, I'm like.
You know, I think for people, it's like, I think iPodder.org or something.
Yeah.
That has, like, information about it.
Get it.
I'll help you.
I just don't get it. God damn it.
It's not hard. Even, like, retarded people like me.
I want to talk to you about that.
Yeah.
And since I'm hosting the show this week, I just want to point out to the folks out there, this guy, he comes off, he says, I'm retarded and shit like that.
I am retarded.
You may be, you know, as far as society goes, but, you know, when I talk to him, you know, off camera or off camera, you know, when we're not doing the show, you know, sometimes, you know, it's like, I really wonder about this guy because he is such an interesting perspective on society, you know, and I think it has to do why, you know, the whole talkwarrior.com thing has come to be. You know, I just got to give the little props out there for you, you know, there, Moisha, you know, and all the effort that you've done, because it's, you know, it really does. It really works.
It just goes to show you, even a retard could make something out of himself. Never give up, kids. when the doctors say you have a 95 IQ, don't, you know, when they tell you you should be a chef, and you don't listen to them, you know, we made a fatal error in life, you know, get over it. It's okay. You can come back. You may have sex. You may find a girlfriend because you're unemployed, but, you know, but at least you could fucking, you know, here's the thing, you gotta try. You gotta put in an effort. That's what counts, the effort.
90% of success is just being there.
Right.
Showing up.
Right, that's right.
Yeah. Make a wave, God.
Yeah. I'll help you with the podcast later.
Yeah, thank you, because I got a second to talk about, you know, this new show, Mind Walk, that I'm producing. It's just basically...
Is it a radio show?
Some talk, yeah, half an hour, just kind of, you know, no interruptions, just kind of takes you through some things, and, you know, some mixes, some interesting music, and, you know, it's just there for people to enjoy. And you can usually go there if you go to...
Again, where can people go to listen to this? Or
radioforall.net and do a producer search for Upstart Radio, the show, or do a search called for Mind Walk.
Right.
MindWalk. It's, you know, kind of experimental, a little, you know, it's not professional. I'm trying to do as best as I can, you know, and try and keep the quality up there. But, you know, I hope you enjoy it. Check it out and all that good stuff.
That's good.
My pitch for that. Yeah, right. You should have listened to it. I asked you to, but no, you didn't even download it, man.
What? I don't remember you asking.
You got some socialist stuff in there you'd like.
I'm sure.
It does.
If you ask me to listen to it.
Howard Zinn is in my first program, actually. He's the first speaker after, Howard Zinn, and then it goes to Charles Bukowski and... I think you'd like it. You ever listen to Charles? You ever read Charles Bukowski there?
I've read most of his stuff. I've probably read all of his prose.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, have you ever heard his poetry when he reads it?
Yeah, I've listened to a little. Yeah, I saw the Bukowski movie.
Yeah. Oh well, yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. The Barfly. That's right.
No. They did a documentary.
Oh, really?
On Bukowski.
No, I don't think I've seen that.
I forget the name of the movie.
Yeah.
He's a real asshole, you know.
I like his perspective. I like how he looks at things.
Yeah, I used to respect the guy. I saw him in the movie, and he's like, he's kicking his wife. Couldn't believe it. It's like, what an asshole. I mean, he's always talking about slapping around women. in his books. And I'm like, well, okay. You know, it's, you know, I don't really believe this. This is part of the, you know, his thing. But yeah. I'm sure he actually does slap women around. But, well, he did. He's dead now. But go on. He's a great writer, but he's an asshole.
Most great writers are assholes. You know, anybody who does really anything worthwhile is usually an asshole. But anyhow, that's my defense of old Chuck, old Mr. Chinaski. But anyway, I like Charles Bukowski, and I air a lot of his poetry because it's always thought provoking, and a lot of that, you know, he turns something very ugly into something very beautiful, and something very, very rough into something very smooth and palatable. You know, I always appreciate that, and that's kind of like, you know, a theme, you know, and I've always kind of appreciated his work for that. But anyway, I hear a lot of that, and William S. Burroughs. Are you familiar with William S. Burroughs?
Oh yeah,
he's real out there.
Right.
But always been.
It's a tough read. You know what? For people that are not, like, I wouldn't start people. For people that want to read Burroughs, don't start off and make lunch. No. Start off with Junkie. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not like.
Actually, I have
a straight novel. Yeah.
I wouldn't even go with the novels. Go with the cut up art, the audio work. All that, you know, there's The Priest. There's They Call Me Burroughs. Quite a few others.
Yeah, he's wild to listen to. He's like, he's got this wild voice.
When did I stop wanting to be president? Yeah.
He's insane.
He's pretty sane for, you know.
No, I think he's a little nutty.
You know, it's very funny. You know, it's like his cut-up work. He's always kind of claimed that his cut-up work was kind of a way into the future. If you don't know cut-ups, you take a novel or a newspaper and stuff like that, and you take a razor blade and you cut out, like, lines of words. You know, whole sentences or just words and stuff, and he'd throw them in a can and mix them up and start pulling them out, and that would be, you know, his dialogue for some audio recordings,
right.
Cut-ups. Then he would take those cut-ups and the audio and cut the audio up so it would become something completely different. So that was kind of an art form. And then he used to find, you know, like, kind of similarities, like little things within the mix that kind of, you know, in a way, in a kind of a backwards way, in an artistic way, would make sense and almost be prophetic. And I still find that in a lot of his mixes and a lot of his music. Agent K, not Agent K9, it's just the one with the boardroom. I can't remember the title of the name, but they truly are, you know, interesting to listen to. And if you open your mind a little bit, it's kind of scary.
It's a tough read, folks, so it's going to be a painful opening of the mind. Once it's open, maybe it'll be okay, but it's hard. It's a hard read.
Oh.
With some good information, if you want to, like, I thought people should read, if they're interested in the Beats, they should read When I Was Cool by Sam Kashner. It's like a biography of this kid's, like, he was in the Ginsberg Poetry School, and it's really, like, it's an autobiography, but he gets to know all the Beats and all so forth. You got to read it.
I think I might have heard him on, like, KPBS or something like that.
Oh, really? Yeah. I thought I would love to have him on the show.
He's kind of a neurotic and, you know.
Is he?
Well, the guy that they were talking to that I was listening to, yeah, he's kind of a neurotic and in a lot of
that
ways.
That sounds great.
He found it a little difficult to be around the Beat poets.
Right, exactly, right. They were just too weird for him.
Yeah, he was there because he was kind of one of them, but at the same time not.
Right, right.
What was that guy's name? Kashner?
Sam Kashner, K-A-S-H-N-E-R.
Interesting.
It's called When I Was Cool, My Life at the Jack Kerouac School.
Yeah. Cool.
It's a good book, good memoir.
Have you been watching, have you seen too much on TV about Iraq, what's going on lately up there?
No, what's going on? I haven't really been watching too much TV.
I've kind of stopped watching TV, too, quite a while ago, but, you know, it's serious suicide bombings, like, every day. Like, now that today there's an...
Right. But the thing is, the public has gotten desensitized to it. It's like, they don't really even make the connection. They don't, you know...
I wish I was that lucky. All I do is feel ill, you know.
Even, I remember when Bush wanted to go to war, back then when, you know, Bush was claiming there was a WMD, and we all knew, everyone who isn't severely retarded knew that it was just a fictitious war. But
yeah.
Even then, I was so angry. I was infuriated. And then they attacked Iraq. And then there was everyone was waving flags, and I remember that, who was that bastard before McClellan, that he was a Jew, okay? He used to be the press secretary for Bush.
Ari Fleischman?
Yeah, right. And he came in that day that they conquered Baghdad, they stormed into Baghdad, and he says, Iraq is liberated, you know. And I was just fucking angry as hell. It's fuming. But now it's like, I'm like, I don't give a shit anymore. I mean, I'm still angry, but it's like a lingering anger. It's just, it's not really like, I don't feel like enraged. I'm like, oh, what's the point, man? I think, you know, and it's like after the election, it's like, first of all, you got John Kerry, another evil fuck.
Yeah.
And it didn't even seem like the election was really even, like, I didn't even trust the results of the election.
Oh, well, you know it was a coup. It was obvious.
Well, I don't know. It's just that there's no evidence.
Yeah, well, did you know about weapons of mass destruction? You knew.
No, that I knew was bullshit. I'm just saying, about the election.
This is the same kind of no.
No, I don't know. No. I don't have to disagree.
You just don't want to admit the harsh fact that, you know, they basically engineered this last couple of elections.
No, I don't know. Look, here's the problem with this election. There's no evidence to support that this election was valid, and this is why I say this, because
it comes down to Ohio, and it comes down to Blackwell, and Blackwell has closed the files. So now that basically shut the lid on this whole election fraud issue.
Well, no, look. Here's the thing: the electronic voting machines don't leave paper trails. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's really no way to know. Okay, you can't count the votes.
Yeah, I know. That, and also there was just basically underfunding for the districts, you know, like three voting machines for districts that had like 1,500, 2,000, 3,000 people, you know, that's ridiculous.
Going
down the street, you know, fix it anyway.
Whatever it is, whether it was really, corruption going on, whether they fucked with the election or not, I don't trust it. Okay? That I know. I don't really trust that my leaders are really my leaders. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm like, I feel like, what's the point in anything? Because you just can't win.
Well, you know, there's no being neutral on a moving train, man. So, I mean, even if you're sitting down not doing anything, you're moving and something's happening. So it's just a personal choice whether you're going to do something or not. You're doing your show.
I'm trying, but I just don't feel angry anymore. I really don't. You know, I try.
Joke with it. You know, I was angry first, too. That's, you know, and the whole, you know, when you're describing, you know, shock and awe. That's, you know, basically what started this station, my station, Upstart Radio, you know, way back in 2 years ago. You know, it's been a whole 2 years. And that was basically because I was a little disgusted. I didn't feel like a barbecue. I didn't feel like, you know, watching fireworks. So on 4th of July, started Upstart Radio.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. Got to do something. I mean, There's so much to it. There's so much to the personality of it. You know, just bombing a city and shock and awe, and the whole da, 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 run up to the countdown, and you know, he'll get 24 hours partner, and the whole bullshit with Saddam, and just bombing indiscriminately. Well, basically, they call it discriminately, but you know,
they call it precision bombing.
Bombs blow a lot of shit up and a lot of people up. And,
yeah.
You know,
and we don't get to see any of those people. You know, we can't even see our own dead.
Exactly. We can't even see our own dead.
Everything is a secret.
Yeah, so, they like to think so.
Yeah.
But, you know.
So everything is clean. It's sanitary. It's sterile. It was, you know, and it's like the press. This is what angered me the most, is that the press never really questioned. They were like, they acted like cheerleaders.
I know, they're bought and paid for. I mean, that's...
You know, and they were cheering on the Americans, and then, you know, they're not questioning anything. You know, they're not showing anything, they're not questioning anything, and they're just like, and I'm thinking like, man, what's the point? You can't win. But that's, I guess, why I am desensitized. I think the Americans, you know, it's like, it's not, it doesn't seem, they don't make the connection between events in the Middle East and here, you know? And if you're exposed to a stimuli long enough, unless it's pain, you're going to become just desensitized to it. You're just going to lose your normal link strength. Sorry.
No, I see that biologically, but at the same time, you know, people are human, and you know, sometimes people have to look up again. You know, I try and block it out as much as I can, but you know, it's that gnaws at you morally too. You know, when
I'm trying to block it out.
Well, I
just become desensitized.
You have to live with it, man. No, you know, at least personally, in some of the circles that I work and run in, you have to shut it off. You have to turn it off. You have to forget, because you know it's political. You know, that's where you're at. You say the wrong thing to the wrong person, and you're looking at a world of hurt, or at least you know, like a good stumble trying to keep up with you know the whole rat race. You know, and that's an unfortunate side effect of being a member of society, which everyone has to deal with. You know, at the same time, when you're home, you have a choice whether you're going to turn on your television or where you're going to get on the Internet and try and learn something that will be to your benefit. That's your choice.
Mm-hmm.
Watch NASCAR, or you can, you know, go online and find out what people think and people feel and what's going on actually. You know, with the world, because it affects you. Or at least, not with the world, maybe with your neighbors, you know, or with your community, you know, find out what's going on, maybe you can find out how to help, you know, go and, you know, donate, you know, an hour or two, you know, just to relieve somebody who might be there a lot, you know, whatever you can do. But that's just, you know, that's just theory, you know, that's just... me ranting again, basically.
But do you got any more topics?
You know what? I'm pretty much running out, dude.
Okay. I just want to mention, if you don't mind, I saw a horrible movie.
What?
It's called Mission Impossible 2. I couldn't believe how bad it was.
Yeah.
And then I hear... they're in production for Mission Impossible 3. And I'm like, okay, yeah. Someone must have liked Mission Impossible 2.
Well, sometimes it doesn't matter, because it's basically, it's a formula.
Who can watch this shit?
They do, unfortunately.
What were they thinking when they made this? And Tom Cruise, man. Oh, what a joke.
Yeah. Yeah, they hear War of the Worlds is pretty...
You don't understand the history of psychiatry! He's out of his mind!
Yeah, everyone is. We're all out of our minds.
Did you see War of the Worlds?
No, I haven't, but I heard it was really good, and I've got to see it in the big theater. And I'm told by two respectable sources that even though you hate Tom Cruise, try and forget about it. Go see this movie because it's pretty badass. one guy that I know, the guy that does chillradio.org, Thursday Impressionistic News, which I air on Saturdays and at 5 o'clock and Thursdays at 11:30. You know, even he says, you know, he's like, you know, he basically says on his station, well, you know, if you're going to be one of those guys that you're just going to poo-poo it because of some reviewer or because you don't like Tom Cruise, well, fuck you.
No,
you got to see it.
No, I mean, no. I, as a rule, I don't watch Spielberg movies. I can't stand Spielberg.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was making a nice correlation because this is a trilogy, the end of the trilogy of the whole, you know, Spielberg, you know, you did Close Encounters, then he did E.T., and then this is a whole, you know, like opposite side of the spectrum. You know, with the aliens saying, like, this is doomsday type shit. Nah, that's what the big screen is for. You want to go see that kind of stuff on the big screen.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. No. If you're a touchy-feely kind of, a happy ending kind of a guy, you should go see it, because that's what Steven Spielberg gives you. He gives you the schlock.
That's not what I heard, but okay. I haven't seen it, so I don't know. Maybe it's...
Well, I don't know.
But I've been told that it doesn't have a happy ending. I might be wrong.
Who knows?
At least.
Maybe, you know, the only Spielberg movie I've ever liked was Jurassic Park. So maybe this will be like Jurassic Park.
Maybe. Maybe, but I doubt it. I don't think Jeff Goldblum's in this one.
Oh, well, that sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. You can always tell a good movie by, you know, Jeff Goldblum being it.
If it's got Goldblum, it's got to be good.
It's got gold. If it's got Goldblum, the movie's
it's got
gold.
The Jewish touch. If it's
got,
got
it.
The Goldblum.
Got it. That's right. Have you seen Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou?
Yeah, how do you like that?
Have I asked you that before?
No.
It's I liked it.
I didn't understand that at all.
Well, you know, okay, you know, have you seen
it? Just went on endlessly, and it's like...
Some
of it was funny.
It was tense. The first time I watched it, I remember being tense throughout the entire film. To a certain point. You know, until a certain point, I just realized that this is magical. Have you seen
Oh, man. You know what? I don't have enough IQ pointage to adjust to see it. I don't see the light.
Good segment, man. We got to work on a movie review segment.
Yeah, we should.
You know, I'll tell you one thing about this. Have you seen Buckaroo Banzai?
Yeah, I didn't like that very much.
And all that good shit. Oh, man.
I know that was very culty.
This is the anti-Buckaroo Banzai. I mean, right down, with the exception of the David Bowie music, right down to the keyboards, the cheesy keyboard music, and then you watch the last
it's
thing.
It's all David Bowie.
The last thing, well, it's not. It's actually, it's got this keyboard, this, like...
Oh, that shit. Oh, that, yeah.
Keyboard in there. Well, you know, they did that in Buckaroo Banzai also. And
oh, I didn't know that. I didn't...
The two closing scenes of both movies, they're identical, where, you know, one's walking along, and then the other one joins in, and the other one follows, and then they walk past another person.
Oh.
Jeff Goldblum starts walking, and they just start walking with this cheesy music. You know, it's like the anti-Buckaroo Banzai. And it, you know, basically.
I thought that Buckaroo Banzai was like a cult favorite.
It is. In fact, I heard that they're trying to remake it. They're not remake it, but do a.
So why would you want to make an anti?
It's just a style of film. It's just a kind of the way the director molded it had a kind of structured, you know, a surreal feel about it. You know,
right.
And basically everything was real except not when, like, the ship, the scene with the ship when you see the wide and it's basically a set and they make the camera flows through it.
Yeah.
And all that, and then especially, you know, I think the point that hit me was I'm not really sure, but you know the seahorse being, you know, just that colorful,
yeah.
And that, and then the fish, you know, underwater being that unreal, you know, I just fell in love with that film, you know, and I hope that's Bill Murray's Oscar, you know, I really do.
Right.
If anything, you know, he deserves an Oscar for that because he did. The whole thing, it was deadpan until a certain point. I mean, you were suspecting him of murder, you know, throughout the film, you know, at least the first time that I watched it, and then, you know, and basically you find out that he's actually, you know, 100% for real. This like feeling, caring, you know, individual that loves, you know, nature and, you know, and cries at beauty is actually true, you know. But throughout the whole film, you're thinking,
But you have to see it again.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like reading Naked Lunch.
Huh?
It's like work.
No, not really. Naked Lunch was work. I understand. Watch Naked Lunch a couple of times was work.
Are you talking about watching it or reading it?
Watching it.
Well, if you think watching Naked Lunch was work, you should try reading Naked Lunch.
Yeah, I guess.
That's like, I don't know, mopping floors, cleaning dishes for two shifts. Have you ever done that? Well, let's say that it's like looking at your taco stand for 3 days straight without a break.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I dig that. You know, I always have my cerveza at the end of the day, so I'm good.
You always have your what?
My cerveza, my beer.
Oh.
Nice ice cold one, Pacifico.
Yeah, made by impoverished children in Mexico City. Made by 9-year-olds.
So that's what gives it, like the New Jersey bagels, man. They need the river water, and it makes the bagels better. Everyone knows that.
Where?
In New Jersey. At least this was an old...
Well, it probably adds all kinds of carcinogens to the bagels, though. They can give you three heads and...
Could be progress. You know, we could use three heads.
I've got enough heads.
You've got enough heads. I bet you do. You're a twisted boy.
I'm a sick bastard.
A sick man.
I'm a sick, retarded parade guy. Actually, I haven't had it all.
Well, that was it for our movie segment. That was pretty good.
Yeah, we ought to do Sean and Ebert.
I don't know where we're at with movies, man. I have a feeling that we probably like the same bad movies, but you know, there's also like a lot of other movies that I'm kind of into strange eclectic movies.
Right.
I don't know. We probably have to stay with the mainstream
stuff. How did you?
That's the problem there. I don't stick with the mainstream stuff. So.
This is my favorite. I'll give you my two favorites of all time, and you see if you like them. Both Italian. One was, fuck. It was this communist director, Lena Wirth Mueller.
Uh-huh.
It was, fuck me. Madonna did a remake of it. Swept Away. But then it starts with Swept Away, but then it has this really long title. Oh, you gotta know this stuff. This is great shit. Get it from Netflix. Swept Away.
Okay.
Lena Wirth Mueller. She's Italian. Sounds German. She's Italian. She's a commie.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I can't believe you haven't watched that.
No.
Okay, I'll give you number two.
Okay.
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Oh, well, hey, there you go. We connect there. At least that's in my top five.
All right.
Yeah, hell yeah.
You're a man.
I don't really have a first favorite movie.
Gotta have a number one, man.
I really don't right now. I just don't. I could let me put together a list and we'll get back to you.
We'll compile a list.
I mean, because it's really tough. That's
we'll compile a list.
People ask me that a lot, and I just don't really have an answer.
Look, you gotta have like just a lie answer, you know? So when it's like when people
Three Stooges.
Oh no! You can't include three Stooges in there.
Oh, hey, they are included. They're very important.
Look. Do you ever want to have sex again?
You know, it just might very soon. I don't know. We'll see if this girl.
Well, don't blow it.
Oh no!
Tell her about your love of three Stooges.
Oh, hey, no, she's into them too. That's very good. Yeah. Hey, you a reader? Do you read? Are you one of those Harry Potter readers?
No, I don't read Potter. No.
Did you stay up and wait for the? I don't know what the hell is supposed to happen at midnight. They released the book or whatever.
No.
You didn't do that, huh?
No.
Didn't read any of them, huh?
No. I don't normally read children's books.
Huh. Okay.
Not normally. Did you read it?
Hell yeah.
Was it good?
I didn't read them, actually. I don't really read them. I get the audiobooks. And I love to just, like, let the audiobook run. And pick up parts of the story, and then it's
kind of... See, audiobooks are good for multitaskers.
Yeah.
Well, I could barely read a book, you know?
But I can tell you, I've gone through them all. I mean, at least Goblet of Fire and the Phoenix, Order of the Phoenix. And I'm looking forward, I guess, the next couple months they're going to release the next audiobook. But I'll tell you, these audiobooks are unabridged, too. And, like, the one before... Well,
what is unabridged?
Unabridged is, like, they didn't edit out for time.
Uh-huh.
They didn't edit it.
You mean sometimes they do that?
Oh, yeah.
That's terrible.
Oh,
it's like reading a Reader's Digest book.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the unabridged ones are like, you know, I think the Phoenix one was over 30 hours.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So this is good stuff.
Imagine a kid saying, it's interesting. You know, I'll tell you, I'm not upset that the kids are reading it, because it does. And as a socialist, you'll look at this and you'll find a lot of instances that are, I would say, at least along the lines of kind of social lessons. On authority, perception.
Social what?
Authority. They're lessons on society, you know,
right.
On a social standing, you know, on a. It's very interesting, actually. At least the last two. The one when it gets into the Goblet of Fire. I mean, the first ones are just kind of like introductions. You're kind of learning the characters and all that good stuff. But the last two, and I'm expecting this next one will be pretty interesting as well. But it seems, you know, like this. A lot of people can relate to a lot of those kids in there, I'm sure, on the basis of, you know, their family structure and maybe where they are socially,
mm-hmm.
where they fit in socially. It's very interesting. And if you've got your degree in what do you have your college degree in?
Psychology. And
psychology.
For those of you, let me just say, if you're retarded, go to this college, Northeastern University. It's a college for retards. They should call it Retard U. Okay, I'm sorry. What were you saying?
No, just exactly. You know, exactly.
No, you asked.
What I was saying. What was I saying? Something about something. What?
I failed in my responsibilities as an Ed McMahon. I went down my own thread. See, I need to submit because it feels good.
Well, you know what? I don't like driving a car. You know, I'd rather just, you know, I'd walk.
Better call.
Uh-oh. Wow.
Okay.
Oh, my God. You're mastering the art of radio with that button, dude. Damn.
What could we tested that button before?
Jeez, man. That's awesome, dude. You know, like, now all you got to do is add music.
I'm getting efficient, right.
You know, this is the thing I wanted to mention. You know, I was listening to your shows, you know, when I'm not there. I really appreciated that one.
You were sick in the hospital.
Yeah, when I'm sick or doing my hot dog stand and my making.
You have hot dog stand too?
I told you it's regional, depending on where I'm at.
Oh, I see.
Sandwiches could be tacos,
right.
Could be hot dogs, depending on where I'm at.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, there was this news article about basically the Nazis coming to Boston. And
right. White Revolution.
Right. I just wanted to be. It's not to go into the topic, but I just wanted to mention that the way that you presented the news article and played excerpts from it and then commented on it, I really dug that. And I think you should do more of that. I think that's Yeah.
Well, thank you.
And then you can also add in music. I mean, I don't know, that's you, but I really like the way that you just dissected that interview, because I felt the same way too. When, you know, this so-called peace guy, you know, like fighting, supposedly fighting the Nazis.
He was a socialist, by the way.
He was?
He was a socialist. I think he was from, like, the socialist contingent.
You nailed it when he's like, oh, take with that free speech crap here, or whatever he said. I just wanted to slap him, and then, you know, you were the one that actually, you know, put it together, and you addressed the scenario. I just kind of sat and stewed for a little while, upset, but, you know, you actually took action. I thought that was excellent.
Yeah. Well, you know, when people bash the First Amendment, I get very angry. I don't like when people, you know, try to usurp their authority and try to
like they think they can do better or something, like they want to, you know.
It's like, you know, what bothers me is when people think that they don't listen to the law, and it's like they were. You know, this was public property that all this was happening on. And then, you know, they're talking, we're going to hold this turf and all this shit, you know, as if they owned it.
Yeah.
No one owns it. This public property, if he was really socialist, he'd fucking understand, you know, the idea of public domain, public, you know. But, anyways, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a dollar.
Let's say we wrap this show up.
Okay. Okay. Let's do it. Let's wrap.
Yeah.
Let's wrap, baby.
Yo.
Okay. I'm going to have my drink of water.
Okay. He's awesome. Right on. Good deal.
Coughing? No, I did cough. I'm drinking water now. I'd like to thank John Truby for providing us with his music. For more information about John Truby, please go to our website at talkwarrior.com. I'd like to thank Raymond Lafferty. Oh, no, I'm not thinking. I'm like, don't thank Raymond Lafferty. You know what? We need some more angry white male on this show. What do you think?
You know what? He's like in the ether right now. I'm going to try and get in touch with him.
All right.
Called me, and he says, I got a phone, but I don't know my number, and I'll call you back. He hasn't called me back. I've emailed him once, and hopefully he'll get back to me. So, he's just doing his full-time artist thing. He'll get back to me when he's ready, and
just,
he'll be glad to do some more.
It's not too hard. You know what? If he calls the talkwarrior.com official phone number.
Yeah, I'll just have him. I'll make sure he does that.
Which is coming up.
It's
360-246-8837. He can just call and... I know he's a very angry white male, so if he's got some anger to get out, he should call my number.
And it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is. He is one angry white male. Please check out Mr. Renan's website at upsetradio.com. Mr. Renan is the star of the show, and I think you should check it out, upsetradio.com. Please check out.
I'm not on the station, folks. No. Just music and other speakers. No, not me. This is the only place I feel home right here.
I feel this is the only place where I feel submissive.
Well, you can hear TalkWarrior.com Saturdays at 4 o'clock on Upstart Radio.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Please check out the Mount Sinai website at talkwarrior.com. Mr. Lennon would like to thank his Gentile God. And I would like to thank the God of my original father, Abraham, for giving us the energy and courage to fight evil. If you have any other gods, I wrote this for you. If you have any more gods you would like to thank, let me know.
God here.
But, what?
No, nothing.
I'm going deaf.
Huh?
I didn't hear you. I think I'm going deaf.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. You have no more gods. Okay. All right. This show is a copyrighted broadcast of the TalkWarrior.com radio network. It may be retransmitted, provided that it is not altered or excerpted in any way. We'll see you later. Now, I just want to point this out, that Mr. Lenin, okay, will be, he is imposing a new rule, okay, and we will be, we're going to, this is technically part of the virtual tour, okay?
Okay.
I actually, you know, that
my rule.
What? Yes, this is your rule.
My rule.
Yeah, you made it last night when you were very drunk and tired, and you don't remember.
But damn, I didn't know I was on the phone last night. Jeez.
Yeah, you were very drunk. You were very, and you were horny.
very good. That could be any night. What are you talking about?
What?
I said that could be any night. What are you talking about?
I know the feeling. Anyway.
Hey, what was my decree? What did I?
Oh yeah. Now, people have listeners to my show have been real fucking pricks. Okay. I have asked for just a little support that they go to vote for my podcast, and they can do that by going to the talkwarrior.com website, and they go to the menu on the left, top left, and it's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6 thing down. I'm sorry, eighth thing down. It's on the radio show. You can't miss it. It says vote for the podcast. We asked last week, you weren't here, you were sick, but you asked me to ask the listeners to do this, to vote, okay? I probably got altogether, you know, 100, if you include the hits I got from Radio for All and your show, who knows, I probably about 150 people listened to the show. One person, one fucking person, one human being voted. And that's unacceptable. So what we're going to do is that we're gonna put in a little threat here, okay? People, I want two votes a show. I don't care how you get these votes. You could ask your grandmother to vote. I don't care. Get your sister to vote. But I want votes, okay? I want you to help me. Okay? I mean, don't go into my blog and send me emails saying, oh, you have a great show, blah, blah, blah. I don't give a shit about that. Okay? I only want you to help me. After you help me, then you could say how great we are. But before that, I need you to vote. If you can't vote, we're gonna shut down the show, all of August. All of August. This is just a little warning. It's not, the rule is not in effect yet, but it will be. I want 2 a week. Two votes a week, or I'm shutting down the show for the whole month of August.
All right, Puff Daddy.
So, that's, you know, I mean, if you want to, you know, it's your choice.
Vote or die, right? Vote or die.
What?
It's like Puff Daddy. Vote or die.
What, yeah, well, I don't, is that what it says?
Yeah, it was like a campaign or something like that.
Vote or die?
Well, yeah.
I think that's a good slogan. Vote or die, right. Because, you know, this is the voice of reason.
Every season?
Live from Mount Sinai, what?
Never mind.
I'm going deaf, man. What did you say?
You know, it might be me. Maybe I'm just not talking into the phone enough.
What did you say?
I don't know. I was making a joke about Harry Reasoner.
Oh, Harry Reasoner?
Yeah.
Oh man, that he was on a long time ago. I don't know. I don't remember that guy.
Never mind.
But this is really your choice. You can either vote or die. In New Hampshire, they have this license plate: live free or die. So it's like that. Okay. You either, you know, vote for life in Mount Sinai, or you die. No, you know, you won't.
Okay.
What?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, go down there.
Well, okay. I just want to, so that I just want listeners to know that we have this policy that you developed this policy, and we're going to carry it out to...
Just write it up, and I'll sign it, man.
Right. We're going to carry out this policy with extreme prejudice. Okay, so if you want the show next month, you better start voting, fuckers.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Go for it, man. Bastards better vote. Vote.
Okay. I think that's
it. You really need your fix. You need your Talk Warrior fix. You know you can't make it without.
You can't handle it. You can't handle the truth.
You need it. You can't handle the truth.
Oh, that's great. I think you would make a mighty good angry white male.
I don't think so.
Okay. You know, I wanted to do the virtual tour. I talked about David last week, the Republican, the Libertarian Jew. But it looks like he chickened out this week. He didn't, he didn't get back to me, so it looks like he stood me up. So hopefully we will continue the virtual tour, and I'd like to head south and talk to some listeners in Alabama.
Alabama.
That's right.
All right.
Sweet home Alabama. Where the skies are blue.
I'm ticking.
Take it easy. It's been great being subservient to you and submissive to you.
It's been fun.
All right.
It's been fun, Moisha.
Take it easy.
You too. Bye.